banker and a real estate developer builder of the original Fifth Avenue Hotel. Well, one day Billy and his mother went downtown to visit Dad at his office on Lower Broadway. The smells and the sights and the sounds of the city were exciting to the little lad, and the youngster was impressed with the apparent importance of his dad's profession. And then Billy and his mom headed for home. Yet what otherwise would have been a brief, pleasant trip became an arduous journey, an interminable, unimaginable trek through city traffic. And the little boy never forgot that traffic jam. The hours of seeming standstill, waiting for frustrated policemen to untangle the mess. It ought to be mentioned that in those days, there were comparatively few vehicles on the streets of New York City. It took little more than a dozen hesitant or misguided ones to snarl traffic for blocks. But as I say, the little boy never forgot. And that one unforgettable experience inspired a lifetime endeavor. William Phelps Eno is now remembered as a pioneer in traffic regulation, as the father of traffic safety. Because when Bill Eno's daddy died, he left his son a seven-figure inheritance, and shortly thereafter, the lad immersed himself in the study of traffic control. 1 year later, Bill published the first article on the subject in Writer and Driver magazine. The piece was entitled Reform in Our Street Traffic Urgently Needed. Within 2 years, he devised a traffic code comprised of basic rules for passing and turning, for crossing and stopping, a system of hand signals, and a means of determining right-of-way. To enforce these new regulations and to expedite the flow of traffic, Bill conceived a very special breed of policeman, the traffic cop. Subsequently, the Apollo Squad of the New York Police Department was based on Bill's model. It was Bill who first suggested taxi stands and pedestrian safety islands and one-way streets. Those were his idea. And the painted lane markers and the traffic signals. In fact, few men in history have so dramatically affected the everyday lives of men and women all over the world. And it all began once upon a traffic jam. One afternoon in 1867, when it seemed a little boy and his mother would never get home. Of course, in 1867, Manhattan traffic was horse-drawn. Even when Billy devised his original traffic code at the turn of the century, automobile traffic was still many years in the future. And when at last the age of the motor car did arrive, William Phelps Eno resisted the newfangled invention. A superb horseman, he preferred to ride. And he would travel by automobile only when it was driven by a chauffeur. And he remained a skeptical of motoring until the day he died in December of 1945. And what that means is this. William Eno, the father of traffic safety, the man who gave the world its basic traffic laws and systems by which we still live to this day, who devoted his life to making our roads safer for drivers everywhere, he, William Eno, never learned to drive a car. Never. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, so we're back. I promised Darsha I would no longer use the term glass is half full because it's triggering her accountant side, and she starts getting facial tics whenever I say that. So we're just going to, from here on out, we're going to say silver lining. So I'll start out with my silver lining stories for the new year. Iran protests. I found those very interesting. The fact that
our financial system,
you know, suddenly you have pretty much rebellions going on in 100 municipalities around Iran. I'm sure we didn't have anything to do with that, nor did the Israelis, but that could be a very good news story. The fact that a drug distribution facility in Venezuela, interestingly enough, run by the ELN, which is a Colombian Marxist group, which I had direct and personal involvement with back in the early 2000s. They were running that drug distribution center on the northeast coast of Venezuela, and that mysteriously went kaplooey. Other good news, probably closer to home, Judge Benitez, Roger Benitez in the Southern District of California, made a summary judgment against the California Department of Education and Governor Newsom, basically saying that they could no longer, that the state of California could no longer mandate that teachers and school districts lie to parents of children with gender dysphoria, and could no longer hide their children and provide, you know, new names and stuff like that without letting the parents know.
Imagine that it actually took people, teachers coming forward saying, hey, doesn't this seem a little odd that we have to lie to the students? That where is parental rights in all of this?
Yeah, and then the districts, the school districts wonder why nobody trusts them anymore.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Rainey. I just want to tell you, I'm having the opportunity to call in today and tell you that you are a hero to many out here, and myself included.
Oh, well, thank you.
What you're doing for the district, and I pray that you continue to do so, fighting the good fight. You guys are talking about 2026, and I'm getting a little concerned here with all the stuff that's going on around the country with Somalian fraud. And yes, I'll say it, Somalian fraud. What's going on in New York? The reaction to it. You said something about that, Kenny, last half hour. The reaction to it, that there really isn't a reaction on the left to the problem. You know, it's always a blame, white supremacy, racism, whatever the case may be. And what I see it is it's a continued slow creep to communism. They're creating groups that are dependent on the government. We're getting, you know, when you have this stuff, when they're saying, hey, we're spending all this money, taxpayer dollars are gone, what we need to do is tax more, it's bringing that Laffer curve, and I think, Kenny, you probably heard of the Laffer curve,
right?
Which has been poo-pooed by people on the left, but it brings that into play. The first thing I thought of last week when I was listening to some of the stuff, I'm going, it's a Laffer curve where you get to a point where either people, productive people, are going to stop working or they're going to evade or avoid taxation. And I think we're heading to that, and I think we're getting to a breaking point here, and I'm hoping that cooler heads prevail and smart decisions are made in 2026, but I think we're getting closer to a point where Kevin was talking about this morning, where productive people are being punished, where they're just not going to take it anymore. You know, when you see what's going on in Minnesota, and you're kind of just going, we know what's going on in California, you know, $24 billion to homeless, what's going on with people that are here illegally, and we even have people in our city council that are trying to inform and help, aiding and abetting, if you ask me, people that are doing things illegally. And at some point, the Joan Q. Citizen is going to say, I've had enough. And that's what's making me nervous, because I know how I feel. But I'd like to think of myself as somewhat rational, but I know there's probably people out there that are really angry about this, and where does that lead to?
No, I agree with you 1,000%.
And so do I.
But again, silver lining, not glasses half full, but silver lining here is we have 50 laboratories in this country. So I think collectively as a nation, the majority of the states and the majority of the citizenry in the nation recognize that we are at a dangerous point in American history. And I still think that, you know, when you look at where the populations are moving, they're leaving the Minnesotas, they're leaving the Californias, they're leaving the New Yorks, and they're moving to these other red states where they do have common sense laws. They don't punish the people that are productive and reward the lazy. California is in for a rocky road. If I could pick up my 850 acres and move, I probably would. But this is my home. I did 5 combat tours, and when I had a bad day, I would sit and I would design what I wanted my ranch to look like someday. So you're going to basically have to, you know, pull my dead bones out of here, because I don't plan on going anywhere. But it's going to be a rough road. And I'll tell you the concern I have in California is the system collapses in California, which it's doing. And we're going to get into the oil concerns this year, because everything I've read for 2026, they are predicting that by the end of the year, we will have $8 to $10 gasoline. And it's because the legislature has basically said, you know what, we don't need oil and gas.
The war on oil.
And then we're also looking at probably while the rest of the nation recovers, we're going to have a recession in the state of California. And that's because we're raising minimum wage and we're driving people out. And you compound that with
wealth tax.
Yeah, you compound that with the wealth tax. And that, you know, that I think that the stat I heard the other day is the top 1% of the wealthy in California pay 41% of the taxes. So you're going to drive those people out? Well, good luck to the people in Sacramento.
And I'm a CPA, a tax preparer. I see it with my clients. I have small businesses. I have individuals. And some of the legislation that California puts forward, and even local, school boards, et cetera, when they make their legislation decisions, and their insane legislation decisions, but when they do make those, they assume that people aren't going to make a different decision based on what they're legislating. So even when you talk about the Laffer curve, when it becomes where someone is going to change behavior based on legislation, they never take that into consideration. So we've had 230 corporations leave the state of California.
Wow.
Those are major. That takes all of the employees with them.
Let's get back to the energy thing and the oil. When you look at the futurists and the people they're talking about investing in the future, AI is what supposedly is going to be driving the economy for the rest of the century. And that requires a lot of energy.
And water.
We don't have a power grid that can accommodate your air conditioner during the day. How are we going to accommodate all of these data centers around the state? We're not going to be able to. And that's why these people are leaving. Silicon Valley is leaving, and they're going to Texas. They're going to Arizona. They're going to these other places, and they're investing in small modular nuclear reactors and things like that. You had Microsoft that basically took over Three Mile Island, and they're revamping that. That's the other thing. We are so blinded by our desire to save the spotted three-toed whatever that... You know, we are sacrificing the next generation of the state. You know, most of the graduates from Paso High are not going to be able to afford to stay here.
I can tell you, please consider looking at New California State. I know that people say it can never happen, but at the same time, what else is there out there? So as an optimist, I say at least they're standing for the Constitution. They're standing for law and order, and it's a pathway forward. Instead of destruction. I mean, it's a peaceful pathway forward.
I would say, please just get involved in the vote. That's
I can tell you what's happening with that, too.
That was my next question. How much confidence should we have in our electoral process? And I still believe, going back to the election of 2020, I think at some point it's going to come out how much, it's going to be firmly stated that election was, if you want to say, stolen, rigged, or whatever, and it's going to come out, and, along with all these other things that have come out, that we had an invalid as a president, that the Hunter Biden laptop, the Russian hoax, I think the next one to drop is going to be that 2020 election and how it was actually rigged and stolen.
Well, I've been
thinking.
How much confidence should we have in elections, especially here in California?
I actually know the numbers. And I'm here to say that Trump won California in 2020. We have to go back, because we have to get that straightened out before we can continue to go forward. Thank you so much for your call.
We got another call.
We have another one.
Okay. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Okay. Happy New Year.
You
too. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I saw this website on X the other night. It's called youfundness.com, and it gives you all the data on federal grants, state grants, and SBA loans.
Oh, yeah, that's the other area that's under investigation right now with Kelly Loeffler. and the Small Business Administration loans.
What did you see for San Luis Obispo County? I know several of them.
You could search. You've seen that site, though? It's called youfundthis.com.
I've heard of it. I've never been on there.
I've been on there. What did you find interesting?
Just a laundromat in Paso got $1.3 million.
I'm in the wrong business.
Well, I mean, it's for a cash-operated business. It's for an SBA loan. I mean, but they can get that, though. I think the new one on Spring down there by the Appy's Market.
Yeah, it's actually in what's a federally declared opportunity zone, which is also, that came out, 2018. But the opportunity zones, and that was downtown Paso Robles, was declared an opportunity zone. So there was, you could defer gains by going into a fund or supporting redevelopment in these opportunity zones. But yeah, the SBA is the Small Business Administration, and there are loans that are available at reduced interest rates. And during COVID, it was rampant because people would get PPP loans and the SBA loans, and talk about
there were a lot of time on Doge. Yeah, there were a lot of entrepreneurs apparently in the California penal system that were getting PPP loans.
Well,
that was the article
that
I read.
Is the Employment Development Department. That still has not fully been the shakeout. And so the Employment Development Department, I'm hearing they've admitted to about $180 billion of fraud.
$180 billion? And that's nationwide, or is that California? I haven't heard that number yet.
California.
So that's on top of the...
A million.
That's on top of the $76 billion.
At some point in time. So when that all comes out, so they do owe the federal government all of this money back. And what happened
That's not $180 billion. You're talking about the one that now the small business owners have to repay because Newsom defaulted?
It's unemployment insurance through the EDD. And what
Spell that out. I don't know it.
Okay. So the Employment Development Department, it was under Julie Hsu, I believe. And
candidate for governor.
She was in Biden's administration. So Julie Hsu was in charge of the Employment Development Department, this one section of it, which was the unemployment insurance. And what happened is the normal safeguards when you go on unemployment, you have to provide, here are my last two or three employers over this period of time. And then there's a verification where it goes out to the employer and they say, how much did this person earned during this time period, for what hours. And so there was a verification. The point is that during COVID, when this whole process went into effect, they turned off the adjudication. They turned off the verification part. And that's why it was so rampant. You know, you had the people that were in jail, in prisons. You had the Rodeo Drive whole fiasco where they were getting gift cards. And it was... what ended up happening, it was millions and millions of dollars to start out with, and then it became billions. But they do owe the federal government back, because it was a loan from the federal government. They now owe that back, and guess how much they have paid? The state of California has paid to the federal government.
I don't even want to think about
that. Would be a really round number.
Oh.
Yes, zero. And so what that means is then... Newsom put into effect starting January 2025, where employers
That's $180 billion.
It is what they have agreed to was that they were going to repay, and I think the number is $18 billion.
Okay, that's a big deal.
$4 billion, but they have not even begun to identify and quantify. And so the numbers I'm hearing is that it goes upward of $180 billion, $300, $500. It's unbelievable.
Well, let's kind of shift gears, because this gets into my pet peeve on the accountability aspect. And I am optimistic that people will start getting held accountable. But, you know, when we hear like $18 billion from the high-speed rail with no receipts, if I'm a federal investigator, the first person I'm going to hold accountable is whoever the person is in charge of the high-speed rail program, because ultimately the bucks, no pun intended,
so
the buck stops somewhere.
Transportation.
Yeah. So, but these people, they're supposed to be providing oversight of the taxpayer's dollar. And when you have no receipts for monies spent, that's criminal negligence. You may not be able to prove fraud, but I think the simple fact that you have no receipts, if I'm a federal prosecutor looking to, you know, get a scalp on my belt, I'm going after somebody for criminal negligence. And I think you could easily start hammering some of the people in power in California that way. But we were talking a couple callers ago about, you know, voter fraud and 2020 election. I'm sure you're tracking, Darsha, all of the discussions about going after Brennan and Clapper and what's been coming out on the January 5th bomber and the January 6th riots.
Quote, insurrection.
I don't use that word. It was a riot. Having actually been involved in insurrections.
A mostly peaceful protest. How's that?
Okay, but you're tracking all that, right?
So here's where I go. I have been attacked by the county, by parties in the county, by people, by organizations, because I have been saying that our elections, elections are county by county, that what's happening across the country is also happening right here in our own county in San Luis Obispo. So I continue to say that when you have a system that is vote by mail ballots going out to thousands and thousands of people with no chain of custody, and then you don't know who they came from and you're not able to have identification, you end up where we are. And so we'll continue this on the other side, but...
All right, I'll have to get us back on course.
That's where we have to...
You didn't go where I wanted you to go.
That's where we have to go.
We'll be back after the break.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with the major averages ending the first trading day of the new year mixed as risk appetite appears to be returning to Wall Street. Semiconductor stocks, including NVIDIA, Intel, and Micron, advanced, as did some other artificial intelligence names. And shares of furniture sellers like RH, Wayfair, and Williams-Sonoma gained after the Trump administration delayed tariff increases on upholstered furniture, kitchen cabinets, and vanities. And Tesla shares fell 2% after the EV maker reported fourth quarter deliveries below estimates. As a result, Tesla losing its title of the world's top-selling EV maker to China's BYD. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Travelers. The Dow up 319 points. The Nasdaq lower by 6. S&P 500 up 13. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Have you felt that instant panic when your car breaks down? You deserve to be treated like a guest, not a problem. At Shiftin' Gears Auto Repair, they're shiftin' expectations with hospitality-geared auto service. Transparent updates, honest answers. They have your back from the moment you call, and they are always ready to serve you. Next. Finally, auto repair that puts you first.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Oh, we're back. I'm going to take over since I wasn't good at the signals to Darsha on where we were going.
I know
but
exactly where you're going,
goal,
Kenny.
My hope for 2026 is that there is accountability and that we start holding people accountable. That's where I was trying to get you to go. And
okay, but when you look, hasn't there been accountability over the last several years?
Well, it was because you had this thing called the Biden administration that was probably going to be proven to be one of the most corrupt in history. But prior to that, you had a Trump administration, but he left a lot of the career bureaucrats in power. And, you know, the joke when I worked at the Pentagon was, you know, it takes an act of Congress almost literally to fire a bureaucrat.
So you have the staff that is there for literally career politicians. I mean, career bureaucrats that they come in year after year after year. They're there, but the presidents come and go, and
yeah.
You still have the same policies.
I tell the story when I was in charge of intelligence manpower and training for the Marine Corps. I had this POS that worked for me who'd washed out of the Marine Corps in like 1975, and this is 2007, and he's still working in the Pentagon. And I had directed something. I'd just come back from my last combat tour. I figured I had a little bit more experience in, you know, what the requirements were up front than he did. And I kept putting, you know, saying this needs to be done, and he wouldn't do it. And finally I blew up at him, and I was the one that got in trouble. And I went, you know, we had to go in front of the general, and I won what I wanted was eventually done. But afterwards, he said to me, he goes, you colonels, you come and go.
Exactly.
And I'm still going to be here. And when you're gone, I'll just undo
still
it.
Still be here.
So, and that's the way that city works. And so back to your question, you know, as you start seeing the number of bureaucrats reduced in Washington, D.C., you know, they're shutting down the J. Edgar Hoover building. So that's good. You're redesigning the bureaucracy. If you really want to go back to where the swamp creature was really born, it was the Pendleton Act in 1880. And I can't remember who the president was that was assassinated in 1880. It wasn't Cleveland. It was right after Grant. But anyways, no, it wasn't McKinley. McKinley, he was assassinated, but that wouldn't be until 1899, I think. But anyways, his name will come to me, but you know, he was essentially assassinated. He was shot by a disgruntled bureaucrat, because up to that point, the way the bureaucracy worked was, you know, you went in and you said, you know, President Stebbins, you know, I donated to your campaign. I want to be in charge of this office. And that's how you got it. And it's kind of like, really, it's the way that sort of the cabinet works today and ambassadorships work today.
The beginning of the corporatism of the
But government. That Pendleton Act was basically what created this professional bureaucratic class. And it's morphed now 160 years later to be something that is out of control. You know, it's the tail wagging the dog, and that's what you have to get under control. But where I was going before the break was, when you look at some of the comments that are coming out right now from the Department of Justice, they are looking at finally starting to hold people accountable and, you know, hopefully start uncovering some of the truth behind the 2020 election. And
it's not for a lack of material, because it was all there, and there was the discovery, and it was never able to be presented in court. But there are court cases and sessions, especially Fulton County, Georgia. Thank you, Fulton County, Georgia.
Yeah, so those numbers, did we cover that before we went on Christmas break? But, you know, that was what happened was the state of California came out and admitted that there were 310,000 ballots that should not have qualified because procedures weren't properly followed. What did Trump lose by? 12,000?
This is in Georgia.
This is in Georgia. He lost by 12,000 votes in the state of Georgia. So easily he would have won Georgia, had those votes been disqualified.
That was also the insurrection or the impeachment started because he called down to Secretary of State Raffensperger and said, hey, there's 12,000 votes here. What's going on? Are you sure that you can't see that there are at least 12,000 issues here or where these have not been counted accurately and completely correctly? And it's come out more over and over and over that there are hundreds of thousands. I mean, there's still 19,000 ballot images, more than there are vote by mail envelopes. How did they count these if they didn't come in?
So none of the processes that were supposed to be followed were followed. And I listened to a podcast right after that, just before Christmas, about that. And the point that they made was that the other thing that people really aren't talking about is the fact that you had Warnock and Ossoff that were elected to the Senate, you know, basically two Democrat senators, one pretty radical Democrat senator. And the question remained, well, if Trump should have won, then probably Loeffler and Perdue should have won as well.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought that up. We hadn't really talked about this before, but I can tell you that whole Warnock...
Going down a rabbit hole.
Senator. So I've been talking about smurfing and what smurfing is.
Okay.
And so the person that's really been doing an amazing job, it's also James O'Keefe, who has been doing the undercover work. But basically, smurfing is money laundering into political campaigns.
Okay, that's what we talked about earlier.
Yes, we have talked about it, and Warnock is one of the campaigns, or has one of the campaigns, where there have been millions of dollars that get funded, and what's happening is they're using, mostly it's 65 and over citizens'
names. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Where there's
right.
Small dollar
it's
donations.
It's like a dollar, it's $10, it's $5.
But their name and address and information is being used, but it's not monies that have actually come out of their accounts. So you can go into fec.gov. You can actually look. You can do it by zip code. And we have people right here in our county that have, I don't know, 5,000 transactions in the last 2 years where there are donations into various campaigns. And it's mostly through Act Blue for the Democrat National Committee and Win Red for the Republican Party. So, Senator Warnock, would you like to know the dollar amounts? I probably can find it right here if you give me 3 seconds. So, smurfing is a huge deal because many of the senators and the representatives that have received all these millions and millions and millions of dollars, a lot of it is essentially money laundering from either dark money or foreign
money,
sources.
Right.
Or where there's money that the United States funds to different countries. Go ahead.
All right, so it's going to take longer than 3 seconds. But when I look at the investigations that are going on, what I'm hoping is that for once and for all, we can either confirm or deny what actually happened in 2020. Because there has to be... And if criminal activity took place, which it's looking more and more like there was criminal activity, they have to be held accountable. And they have to be held accountable primarily because if we as a citizenry do not have faith and confidence in our elections, country's done. The republic is over. And so, you know, the people that I really want to see, you know, perp walked and sent to prison, people like John Brennan, people like Jim Clapper, Comey, the intelligence community, you know, who I worked for 25 years, I think is very complicit in this. And it's, absolutely, you know, the playbook that was run in 2020 looked very similar to playbooks that were run around the world by the CIA back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. All right, so what's the number?
Okay. So, Senator Warnock, we have FEC complaint sent in today against U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock and his treasurer, Christopher Koob, K-O-O-B, for smurfing $62,111,521. In addition to smurfing, they are using synthetic name clustering, and it goes into detail about that. But
so is that a federal complaint?
Yes, FEC. Smurfing is structured money laundering into political campaigns. Warnock and Koob are stealing the identities of elderly senior citizens to carry out their scheme. Warnock of Georgia is in the top five nationally for smurfing. It may be only Biden has a higher smurfing number. Warnock is one of those fake reverends just itching to take your money, well, he did, from the U.S. Treasury. With such a large amount, you'll find chunks of the $62 million in change working its way into other Democrat campaigns, with Act Blue already under FBI investigation, confirmed again by FBI Director Kash Patel this week. Warnock is one of Act Blue's biggest, quote unquote, customers. So it goes into the political committee, Warnock Victory Fund, and another political committee, Warnock for Georgia. But I'm letting you know, this is Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota. You have Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Pennsylvania. It's throughout the entire campaign, political campaign. It's become a industrial complex. And so millions and millions of dollars. Everyone wondered, how did Kamala Harris all of a sudden have $62 million? Well, it came from funds that had been raising money using these same smurfing principles, where it's low dollar amount, where it doesn't attract attention, and there's not the same kind of verification. They didn't have the CVV from a person's credit card, right, but they used that number. And so it looks like it's $15, $25, $50, but you can't possibly have made, you know, 300 transactions in one day. And they have confirmed, James O'Keefe from O'Keefe Media Group has gone out and shown up on people's doorsteps saying, hey, did you realize that you've donated $120,000 to these various campaigns? And they're like, well, that is not even possible. I'm, you know, a senior citizen on Social Security, and that's not even possible. So this will all, like I said, it's all coming out, and I believe that it, once people realize the extent to how far we have traveled down the election, and I'll call it fraud, we have to get back to where we have in-person paper ballots counted by hand. It's the only way we'll do it. Welcome to Sound Off.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to Sound Off. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. Do either of you understand or have a accurate description of the money trail related to the high-speed rail, California high-speed rail?
No, I think that's the billion.
That's the problem.
That's the billion-dollar question. Is from what I'm reading right now, they can't account. They don't have. They didn't maintain records of how the money was spent and where it went. So there's a significant portion, and I can't give you the exact amount of the exact amount, but there's a significant portion that they have no receipts for, and that supposedly is one reason why the state of California backed off of suing the feds, because the feds immediately started requesting that information. And now the Department of Justice, right after California dropped the suit, the Department of Justice announced that they're investigating to determine, you know, where is the money.
And have you seen it recently? Have you seen parts of it that have been constructed?
I mean, I've seen a few pieces personally, but you know, it just looks like an abandoned
overpass.
Yeah.
I've driven past it. It's only a couple miles.
I was up in Hanford, and we went by and saw it. Various overpasses not connected.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks so much.
Propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Pass Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Unwind with happy hour at Cello Restaurant and Bar inside Allegretto Vineyard Resort. Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5, enjoy $5 draft beer, $10 draft wine, and margarita pizza, and $14 barrel-aged cocktails crafted with locally sourced ingredients. You'll find a thoughtful mix of local and imported draft wines, local craft beers, and cocktails. Let the Paso evenings begin with happy hour at Cello Restaurant and Bar.
All right, we're back. Darsha's going to get into. Let's talk about some of the discussions on the oil prices. You want to start? Or you want me to?
So where we're at now in Commie, California, and we do have a call. But where we are in Commie, California, right now is that they're shutting down oil and gas industry, and there's a huge discussion that's going to happen about the pipelines. But we'll go to the call, and we'll come back to that.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I've called back. I didn't get a chance to say what I wanted to tell you before the commercial break. So,
thank you for your tenacity.
No problem. Regarding the high-speed rail project, so the overpasses that you're seeing that are built, in the construction world, we call that eyewash. So... you know, it gives the appearance that something is actually going on, and that's what that is. But to my understanding of the way this thing has been orchestrated is that Paul Pelosi, who's a contractor, is using federal grant money, has gone out and purchased the real estate for this project. And then additionally using, what you call it, eminent domain to purchase private property at a reduced cost.
Below market value, yeah.
Below market value, again, using federal grant money to purchase all of this real estate. He then turns around and sells this real estate to Feinstein's husband, who, or I don't know his first name, but then what happens after that transaction is done, and Feinstein is also using federal grant money to make that purchase. So he's probably purchasing the real estate at, you know, whatever, top dollar for,
yeah,
for real estate that's purchased at pennies on the dollar, and then taking that real estate and presenting it to the developer. So it's a big, you know, taxpayer fraud scam. We've all been winked. This thing's never going to get done. So
I forgot that Pelosi was involved.
He's the main guy.
Yeah, I'd forgotten his
very beginning,
his involvement. So that's three of our.
Pelosi's son has some ties.
Yeah, so Boxer's family, Feinstein family, the Pelosi family. I'm sure that's just scratching the surface of the Democrat Party involvement. But do you know off the top of your head how many miles? I still think it's only about 3 or 4 miles that have been completed.
Not a single track has been laid. I mean, single portion of track has been laid. So it's literally what you see is the overpass that's not connected anywhere. And so it's just columns that are up in the air and not connected.
Right. And that's what I've seen. And again, back to my wish for 2026 is that people start being held accountable. Because when you look at the rest of, you look at the other 49 states in the union, and they look and they see that California spent, you know, billions of federal dollars coming from their states on, you know, basically waste, fraud, and abuse, and lining the pockets of Democrat politicians. Those states are going to want their money back.
Well, I think California has something like 12% of the population of the United States, but we're getting 15% or 16% of the federal dollars in California. So how long are the other states going to want to continue to fund California's policies?
Right.
Well, thank you for the details on that. Appreciate you bringing that forward. And similarly, going to the pipeline discussion, so California's effectively shutting down the oil and gas industry in our state. And one of the major things that it has been, that could have happened and may happen still, is the shutting down of that San Pablo Bay pipeline that goes from Kern County, from Bakersfield, essentially, all the way up to the Bay Area.
Right.
So that pipeline carries that heavy crude oil, and I guess it's now down to about 25% of capacity, and it takes a lot of pressure to be able to continue that in the pipeline. And the company that has that pipeline or controls that pipeline is losing $2 million a month keeping it open. So
yeah, there's a good...
when that goes, with you have Valero, you have Phillips 66, you
and
have
potentially
Chevron
Standard
Oil
that are all shutting down their refineries. So to date, the last numbers that I saw were 20% of our refinery capacity has been shut down. And there's a great, for those of you that are interested, there was a great interview. You can get to it via the Epoch Times. But it's a podcast that a Indian gentleman does. It's called California in Focus. And a couple of weeks ago, he interviewed the president and the CEO of the Western States Petroleum Association, a lady named Catherine Reyes Boyd. Very good interview. It's about 45 minutes long. But a lot of questions that were asked, the interviewer's primary question was, okay, we're shutting down the refineries. What's the impact going to be on the average Californian? And her bottom line was, you should plan on $8 to $10 a gallon gasoline by the end of 2026, because
I think that's low.
We cannot replace the refinery capacity. We can't import it. And her justification or her argument as to why the gasoline could not be imported is that none of our port facilities could accommodate the volume required. And if we tried to bring it in from other states, we have a special blend of gasoline. And the other states most likely are not going to be willing to shift their production to meet our special blend. And if they do, they're going to probably do it at a premium.
So what could go wrong, Kenny, when you are importing not crude oil, but gasoline on rail cars or trucking?
What was that town that burned down in Canada? Remember that?
About? No, it's beyond. One
you had a, you
bright
had a...
light is Sable. I understand it just came out. Sable gets the go-ahead to restart the controversial California pipeline. Is it a little too late? Is it too little too late? But this, the Sable Offshore Corp is the one that is restarting the Las Flores pipeline system off the Santa Barbara coast. So when I was in Santa Barbara, we had Platform Holly out there, and you had a whole string of those rigs that are out in the Santa Barbara Channel producing oil. And I remember when I was there in the early to mid 80s, that you would go walking on the beach and you get tar on your feet, and it was just standard. And then once they started pumping the oil, it relieved the pressure. It's natural seepage. The Chumash and other Native Americans would line their boats or cover their boats with the tar pitch, you know,
cover their houses with it,
and it make it waterproof so that they could have their canoes. So that has always been there. There's natural seepage. Everyone knows about that. So now they've shut down Platform Holly as of a few years ago. Then all of a sudden they start getting tar on their feet again when they're down
at
the beach.
I read some interesting articles just a couple of weeks ago about that as well. And the thesis of this article was that California, by not pumping oil, is actually contributing more to greenhouse gases through the seepage than it does from cars. And that because the cars have catalytic converters and you can actually, you know, regulate the emissions, but by not pumping oil, you have natural release of methane into the atmosphere, and you have the oil seepage and tar seepage. And so we're doing more damage, according to this article, by not pumping than we would if we did pump. What was it a couple weeks ago? Was it last week or just before Christmas where the county supervisors voted to condemn the federal government for opening up oil leases again off the coast?
Oh, it just, so
it was in December.
Here's what I would like for 2026, a restoration of common sense policies, accountability, law and order, where finally let's go back to the U.S. Constitution, let's go back to the California Constitution, and let's start following things that actually make sense. School boards, wherever it is in government, we need people. We need representation from people. So we can continue on this election all day long, all year long if you want, because I still believe that where we are now is as a result of where we've been with the elections and the elections being subverted.
All right, so buckle up. We got a couple of public service announcements. On Monday, you've got the Tea Party with Lewis Herm. And then 15 days, we'll be showing Sunday.
On the 24th.
25th at 4 p.m.
Yes, at 4 p.m. 25th on 4 p.m. You can go to Park Cinemas, Park Theater for those tickets. It's R.P. Slow and Moms for Liberty doing a joint on 15 days talking about COVID and specifically New York City. So it should
this
be interesting.
This hour of Sound Off was
all right. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.